Empower Radio presents The Butterfly Moment. It's the classic quantum leap in personal growth. Now here are your hosts for The Butterfly Moment, John Schulter and Carrie Hall on Empower Radio.
Well, good morning. Good morning. This is John Schulter and my wife and partner in crime, Carrie Hall. Carrie, you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, John. Good morning.
I'm doing
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year, everyone. This is indeed a great day. We are back. We are back. Our hiatus since September is over. And we're very excited. Brent Carey, the founder of Empower Radio, came in and we had a nice little chat. And we're excited. We're excited about the new year. We're going to talk about why we were gone. And it's a wonderful story. It's a wonderful story that I think would be meaningful to you as it was to Carrie and I. As you probably know from the website, this is about the butterfly moment. And I'm going to be talking about that a little bit later. But we are both life coaches. And if you would like a free consultation, a free session, you simply have to go to the website or call me on my cell phone, 586-997-HELP, H-E-L-P, that's 4357, just the easy way of remembering it. And we will give you a test drive and talk for 55 minutes about you and your goals and your aspirations and how all the stuff that we talk about on this show can translate into your better life.
Well, it's a wonderful way to start the new year.
Right. Nothing like starting with new goals and objectives, and, you know, that's what we're all about. We had mentioned kind of a hiatus since September, and the reason that there was this vacation was that we had a visitor in our household, and hopefully he's gone, and that visitor taught us many things that we'll talk about today. It made an impression on our lives. And it's something that I think will be meaningful to share with you. And that visitor was stage 2 cancer that I was diagnosed with. And due to the love and support of Carrie and friends and family, some 6 weeks of diagnosis and radiation treatment and chemotherapy, it appears the visitor is gone. And we're going to talk about what that visitor's taught us. So today's session is going to be called, respectfully, Our Dance with Cancer. Carrie?
John, hi. Well, John, I think it was late August, maybe the last day in August or the first day in September, that you actually got your diagnosis. That was after a physical, and the doctor had called us and wanted both of us to be present for the news that she had to impart to us. And so actually we were driving in a car when we were both together to hear the diagnosis. And how did you feel, John?
Well, that's an interesting story, because if you recall, we were on our way to a friend's mother's to a funeral home.
Correct.
And we get a call from the doctor. Usually don't get a call from a doctor at 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the evening without knowing that it's serious. And I remember I picked up the phone, but because I was driving, I handed it over to you and you kind of identified yourself. And I got back on the phone. She said, John, you know why I'm calling? Because I've got the biopsy back. And I said, yes. And she says, you know that it's cancer. And at that time, I think I had kind of a butterfly moment. And the thought that I had at that particular time was, okay, God, take over the steering wheel. You're in charge now. And so I think that it was that kind of surrender that made it easier.
Mm-hmm.
Made it easier because at that particular time, you know, I had those thoughts going through my mind. How about you, Carrie?
Right. No, I think you're absolutely right, John, and I just want to commend you on leave it to you to make it a butterfly moment. Mm-hmm. You know, it was kind of a collaboration of different emotions taking place at that time, but I think we got focused very quickly. And just for our reader, just for our listeners, what route did you decide to take, John? Because I know that there was a lot of research with alternative medicine going on, talking with different healthcare professionals. Obviously, once you get a diagnosis of cancer, you're kind of on that treadmill of meeting with different doctors, finding out about different protocol, and then picking your path. So how did that resonate with you, John?
Well, my thought process, you know, kind of reached back into what I'm about. And what I'm about is integral thinking. And from some almost 40 years of practice of law, I've found that everybody stands in a degree of truth. And that there is a degree of truth in a naturopathic way. And there's a degree of truth in the traditional way. They call it the Wayne State Protocol at the Beaumont Hospital. So I chose an integral path of a naturopathic doctor that was giving me nutrients and advice and that was of the same mind as the MDs in going through traditional treatment. And, you know, for all intents and purposes so far, it worked wonderfully. And so, you know, that was a big part of the learning experience. The other part of the learning experience is kind of the infusion of creative thoughts that I had about cancer and what to do with that information. And I remember I came home that night and wrote a poem about it. And
I think you wrote several poems over the course of your treatment.
It really set me on fire in terms of creativity, and just to establish a platform of where I was coming from as it relates to the lesson that all this that can be shared with the listeners or with our coaching clients, that there is a way of approaching everything. There's a platform of thought and belief in everything, and that will affect the end result. So here's the poem that I wrote that night and that I actually shared the next day with the Kensington Men's Support Bible Group. And I'll talk about that in a minute. So this poem is called The Answer. And it goes as follows. What if we saw cancer as a beginning rather than an end? And the welcome, it's entry into our life, like a loving, long-lost friend, a friend who is also a teacher who knows just what to do to show us how to live with joy and give strength to me and you. What if cancer was an honored guest, a hidden source of love, sent to reveal our heart's resolve, a gift given from above? For in God's arms we lie, our gaze fixed towards the morning sky, ever knowing, always showing, we finally see the wonderful truth for you and me. When you take the C from cancer, all is left is God's answer. We always have a choice inside the fear to hear his voice, no matter what darkness we feel, that only love and light is real.
Nice, John.
That poem established for me a platform of beliefs that we didn't have to traditionally fear cancer, we could use it as an instrument of good. And it provoked the thought that has sustained me during the treatment that it doesn't matter so much what happens to you in life. It matters what you do with it. And you can find the good in any type of adversity. You can find the good in any type of challenge. And when you find the good in it, you are approaching the problem in a new way. And wonderful things can happen from that.
I have to say, John, I think the way you did approach this, finding the good in adversity, was really authentically you. There's a couple questions I'd like to ask you. I would like to ask you, first of all, is there a time that you felt panic? And secondly, what good came out of this adversity? So we'll start with the panic question. Was there a moment, a minute, a day, a week, a month that you felt panic?
Well, I think that within the context of the self-analysis, of trying to really discover what's going on inside of, there always is a point of panic, because cancer in its reputation,
it's an unknown entity
its reputation, if you don't admit a certain amount of that, you're kind of in denial.
Correct.
And that's probably along an improper trail. But I saw it as kind of a world where, there's already all these rules in from screenplay writing and, other types of writing. I kind of questioned that, and why we were playing by somebody else's rules. What if I wanted to make up some of the rules? And what if I wanted to instead of being in a panic, really look at this as an opportunity for me to really walk the talk. There comes a time, I think, in anybody who's a teacher or life, a coach of any kind, when words are not enough, where you really have to demonstrate something. Not that I would be compared to Jesus, but the ultimate icon of redemption is through that figure. And there came a time when Jesus could no longer talk about forgiveness. He could no longer talk about surrender and strength. He had to demonstrate it through the cross and through the suffering of the cross. And that lesson was so powerful, it changed the world. Can you imagine if Pilate would have, gotten the street person Jesus into his chambers and said, "We're going to sentence you to 10 days in jail"? The suffering is part of the power. The fact that it's scary, the fact that it's challenging, the fact that it's invasive, really allows for a demonstration of truth. And so what I found out of this is a way of talking to all of my coaching clients and say, it doesn't matter what the obstacle is. It matters how you choose to approach it. And if you choose to approach it with a sense of learning, with a sense of inspiration, and a sense of redemption, that's what you get back.
I think that you, from my perspective, I think you approach it with a lot of grace, dignity, and a sense of adventure almost.
Mm.
A concept that John and I have become familiar with lately after reading an amazing book by Esther Fleiss is the concept of lament, of lamenting. I know in the book of Psalms, there's a lot of information about lamenting, and it's a concept that I really hadn't followed that closely. And I just would like to know, John, did you ever feel like asking God why? Why me? Did you ever want, or were you ever, you know, going through a concept of lamenting? Did you ever lament your situation?
Well, I've learned how important that is. And, you know, there's a dangerous path that you can get onto with positive thinking and inspiration where you deny your humanness.
As Esther Flea says in her book, Faking Fine.
Right. Right. And you deny your humanness when you say, you know, that everything from the start of tragedy is okay. And a lot of time it isn't okay. And so there's something you got to do with that energy. And sometimes that energy means that you grieve. And sometimes that energy means that you get mad at God. And that sometimes you get into that process of lamenting, which you allows that energy to dispel. Now, if you add on to this idea that you're going to take the energy of that negativity and manufacture something good in your life, I think you're really on the right track. Because then you can get up in life and say, bring it on.
You know,
so
John,
there's nothing you can do. Go ahead.
Okay, so I think that you did that. You did that. And what are some of the many really wonderful and good things that came out of your association with cancer?
Well, you know, the great thing about it is that I can only say that in terms of my relationship with you as my wife, my relationship with my friends and family and all that kind of stuff, was the experience of such unconditional love that it made me think that we all on this place on earth and at this time are just dipping our toes into this ocean of love that's out there, this unconditional love that wants to be experienced, wants to be acknowledged, and wants to be lived. And the interesting thing about that is that it came from tragedy or apparent tragedy. Oh, I don't want to call it tragedy, but a condition that we call sickness. And it just makes you aware that obstacles in life give it juice. And if you're trying to live a life when there's no conflict, when there's no challenges, when there's, you might as well step into the cemetery for an early death. Because that, as Tony Robbins says, is the only place where there isn't any challenge, where there isn't any stress, when there isn't
any. The great late Norman Vincent Peale was very fond of saying that as well.
Sure.
Problems. We all have problems. The only place you don't have problems are in the cemetery. But John, you're a long way off from that, we hope. And pray.
Well, the thing about it is that, you know, the other part of the analysis is that when something like that happens to you, you've got to say, okay, what's the currency in this for me? Am I trying to get attention? Am I trying to prove something? It makes you really kind of examine what you're doing with your energies. And what I've settled in is that God in cancer has given me a great gift that I can share with my coaching clients, because everybody is going to experience hardship in what we label as tragedy. But if they can be of the mindset of what I said, that the mantra, it doesn't matter what happens to you in life. It matters what you do with it. And as I look out, you know, friends and like Chip and Lisa St. Clair, you know, turning their problems and obstacles in life, their challenges, into a foundation to help kids, That's the way to go. So if you can combine what you were talking about, Carrie, lamenting, your natural humanness to break down. You know, even Christ on the cross and said, why are you doing this to me? And take that energy and to put it into something positive. And when you do that, you honor the suffering. As I look back, you know, the times when my father was sick and, you know, I didn't know what to do with that energy of him being completely disabled. I'm 11 years old, all that kind of stuff. And just say, okay, I'm going to make him smile. I'm going to make him happy and take that energy of frustration, of tragedy, and honor the person with that direction, with those choices. So it's made me really understand that when they talk about Adam and Eve choosing from the tree of good and evil, or the fruits of the forbidden fruits, in our lives, we always have a sacred choice. We can tumble into negativity, and we can live on the currency of why me.
And part of that, John, I think you've demonstrated, is a harnessing of your energies. It's a very up close, personal, and intimate look about choosing your thoughts. How you're going to frame this, how you're going to look at this, how you're going to approach this, in a manner of, wisdom to some degree and personal bravery, but also authenticity.
Mm. That's very good. And it makes you realize, this year I'm so excited about coaching and so excited to lock arms with people who are going through challenges. And really, being able to be there for them, being able to kind of guide them, being able to get them to a place where they have the tools to make their life better. You know, when I was a little kid, I always thought, you work really hard to do good things to go to heaven. It's like brownie points or something like that. But as I became an adult, and especially now, I realized that it's just the opposite. You work really hard to become a good person because it gives you heaven now. It gives you a wonderful relationship now. And all those good things that you're standing in the way of with the right tools can come into your life.
Well, John, I really think that your toolbox expanded with this this diagnosis,
yeah.
This dance that you call your dance with cancer, looking for answers, looking for meaning. I think that your toolbox has expanded, and I think that this can only add to your arsenal of tools to help people.
Sure.
If they're going through a cancer diagnosis, or any health-related thing where it's, mental health, not that you're a doctor, but you do have certain insight and you do have a perspective.
Well, I'd like to close with this, in just a short poem. It's just in gratitude to have you along with me in that journey, Carrie. In this poem that I wrote in my stages of cancer, it's called My Angel. And it says, I have an angel in my life, my best friend, lover, and beautiful wife. She makes me strong when I feel weak, and she makes me smile every time she speaks. I sometimes wonder how I deserve this gift, a spirit whose heart can help me lift any earthly load I was meant to carry. She's the soul I was destined to love and marry. Today we start a road less traveled, a life of service has now unraveled. A call to create a new family tree. to get old together and finally see how much we can give those in need. Minds to fill and hearts to feed. Finding a path that seeks only love and the guidance of God's presence from above.
Well, thank you, John. That's beautiful. But I have to say, I don't know if you do have a second to let our friends know about another blonde who is along this journey with you.
Bella.
our Bella.
Yes.
Bella was in the car every morning at 6:45 in the morning for 5 weeks. We couldn't leave without her, not jumping in the car to lend her support to John while she waited in the car for John to do his treatments.
Thank you, Bella, and thank you all, family and friends, for our dance with cancer. It's to this beautiful music is almost over, and you know, hopefully our guest is gone and we can resume our life. And so on we go, and we
welcome. Happy New Year, everyone. We look forward to hearing from you.
We love you guys. Take care.